This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
I hit it hard, man.
It is Masters Saturday here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Great to be with everyone. The golf doctor, also, I guess you stopped by the doctor yourself this week. Glad to see you're in studio. You made it through. I know you had a little bit of surgery, so we're glad you were able to make it through. You couldn't miss this show during the Masters.
No, no way. No way. You had to do whatever you had to do to come to the studio this morning. And, yes, I'm fortunate that got a great doctor at Dr. Baxter, and he took care of my foot. And I'll be ready to go here in a couple of weeks. But what a weekend and what a leaderboard.
Wow, absolutely. What a first couple days of the Masters. Francesco Molinari, a group there tied at 7-under with Day, Kepka, Scott, and Ushuaïen. And then the biggest story, of course, is Tiger Woods. We're going to spend a huge chunk of the show. We're going to bring in Bill Harmon in just a little bit to talk Tiger Woods. And he is one shot off the lead at 6-under. And as we always discuss on the show, Tiger in the hunt. Great for golf, and now all eyes, and great for ratings if you're CBS. You love it. Tiger is in the mix, and not just in the mix. He's right there.
He is right there, and he really had a great 36 holes to get into this position. Now it's going to be interesting to see how he holds it together this weekend. He still's not putting. If he was be putting like the old Tiger, he'd have a 10-shot lead. I mean, he had.
Yeah, he
so
should.
Many,
I mean, even if he missed a couple, right? He should be two or three strokes up.
Yeah, yeah. So, having said that, his irons are really well, and he's got his driver under control. So, the other players got to be looking over their shoulder. This old man can still play.
And at times, looking like the old Tiger Woods, that is for sure. So, we'll talk plenty of Tiger. Also, Francesco Molinari and what he continues to do. And could he claim a second major title? What about Jason Day and Adam Scott? And Adam Scott, you know, we don't maybe talk about him as much, but, you know, Rory, the discussion about him getting a career Grand Slam. Well, you've got Scott, who is going for a second green jacket, and then Brooks Koepka is one step away from a career Grand Slam if he's able to win here at the Masters, and he's at the top of the leaderboard. So it is interesting, and we're going to go through some of those. And our teams that we drafted, just how tight are our Masters teams? Very, very tight. In fact, we were looking up some of the numbers. So we'll talk Tiger and Masters all show long.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Tiger for his birdie. And even with that, he has played the par fives even par today. He's 4-under without taking advantage of the par fives. But there are signs, subtle signs, of the way Tiger used to play golf.
The roar from the crowd and all eyes and everybody talking about Tiger Woods. One stroke off the lead. It is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio. Bill Harmon joins us now on the phone as well. Bill, how we doing? What a couple days already at Augusta.
Good morning, guys. Are they playing a tournament this week?
Absolutely. Man, where do we begin? I think we have to, of course, Tiger Woods. And would you start, Bill, with your thoughts on what you saw from Tiger? Certainly, he's 6-under, and he's just a stroke off the lead, and really should be better. He should be in the lead, right?
Well, I never say he should or he shouldn't. It is what it is. And, you know, he's made a bunch of putts that you wouldn't expect to make, and he's missed a bunch of putts that you would expect. So I think in reality that kind of evened itself out. Somebody said he was number one in putting 20 feet and over for the event, and maybe the worst from 5 feet and under. So he has made a couple bombs. You could make the case if he hadn't made those bombs, he'd be 4 or 5 shots back. But a couple things about Tiger that I've noticed. The one is I think he's hitting his irons unbelievably good. Almost every hole he's got exactly the right distance. iron game really seems to be spot on. Some of the short putts he's missed, I think he's actually hit what he thought was good putts. Charlie, I think, knows the greens at Augusta. You have some short putts that are so fast and they break so much. You can actually hit pretty good putts and not make them. So it's not that he's kind of yipping them. I'd say that he's probably half of the short putts he's missed. I think he actually thought he hit good putts. Watching the tournament this week and the way they've changed the course, I think, Charlie, starting on the 11th hole, they've made the driver much more important than it's ever been at Augusta. You've got to hit good drives 11, 13, 14, 15, 17, and 18. So I'll be very interested to see who drives the ball the best on the back nine the next 2 days, because if you don't drive it well starting on 11, I think you're really going to be behind the eight ball. So, you know, what can we say about this leaderboard? It's probably the greatest leaderboard in the history of professional golf. It's right now stacking up to be the most crowded leaderboard we've ever seen with the quality of players. So I can't really wait for the anyone within four or five shots, I think, has a legitimate chance if they play good the next 27 holes to give them a chance on the back nine on Sunday.
And I think the big thing that's happened with Tiger's game is that he's got control of the driver, and he's being able to put the ball in pretty good spots to use his iron play. And you're right, spot on about his ability to hit his irons is second to none. So we're setting up for a magical weekend. The cast of characters that are on the leaderboard are unique. I think Francisco Molinari still is an incredible story, and it gives hopes to everybody. You don't have to be a Brooks Koepka, a giant, to be in the mix. So the little guys have a chance. What will happen this weekend? I don't know. I think the rain and the softness of the greens have, you know, it's hard to match up the speed and the line, so that's why some of the putts that you would think they'd make, they haven't been able to put in the hole, and because, you know, you think they're really lightning fast, and they're just a, you know, it's kind of like a changeup in baseball. You know, you set up that fastball with that changeup, and those greens are slower, and the ball responds differently. But, Bill, I just think, you know, the only thing I can't figure out is, where's Rory?
Well, you know, that's certainly a legitimate concern. You know, everything was set up for him to play well here this week. You know, who knows if he goes out and shoots 65 or 6 today, but I think in these soft conditions, it isn't the amount of strokes that he's back that is the main concern. It's how many people are in front of him, quality players. I fully expect, unless the weather gets real sporty this afternoon, if you look at the first 15 players or so, there's some of them are going to go low today. And so the people that are way back like Rory are going to have to really go low, because these guys collectively, I don't believe, are all going to play mediocre today. They're just playing too good, and the course is not set up, I think, to shoot a super high score unless the wind really blows. So I agree with you, Charlie. It's a little bit of a mystery, but let's face it. You can downplay that Grand Slam all you want, and I get it, and that seems to be the modern day way of dealing with stuff. I think the great ones would come out and say, I want to do it, and it means a lot to me, and yeah, there's pressure on me, and that's the way it should be. Seems like the modern day player tries to deflect that a little bit, but I doubt if Nicklaus and all the other guys deflected it. I think they owned it and wanted it, and I still think that this course is absolutely set up for them. But the greens aren't set up for him. But I would be very surprised, to be honest with you, if he never won the Masters. If I had to bet right now, would he win a Masters, I would bet that he would.
Rory, of course, even there, he'll tee off at 11:05 Eastern time there at Augusta. We'll get back into the star-studded leaderboard and in the storylines, and also some of the bigger disappointments. Justin Rose certainly part of that as well, missing the cut. But going back to Tiger for a second, guys, just a bizarre scene yesterday involving a security guard.
Trying to work it out.
Security. Oops.
Security guy came out trying to step behind Tiger, and then Tiger caught his foot. Hopefully he's okay.
You ever see anything like that? And, man, that security guard is awfully lucky Tiger's not hurt.
Yes.
He still might be fired.
Yes. It's, you know, Tiger was hurt in Pebble Beach 1 year, and that's what started his knee problem. So, yeah, that was really an unfortunate situation that turned out pretty good, and he ended up making turning his round around by making that birdie on 14, hitting it over the trees, Bill. How about that golf shot?
Well, he did it 2 days in a row. He made three from over there to the left. And usually there are certain spots on almost every hole at Augusta where you can't make a par or sometimes a birdie is out of the question. And to the left on 14, Charlie, 9 times out of 10, you can't even get the ball on the green. And he's gone 3-3 from the left rough. So I think, Alex, you know, we look at the short putts and say he should be leading. But if someone would have told you he was going to play that hole in 6 strokes from where he drove it, you'd say that would have been pretty fortunate, too,
right?
Don't you think, Charlie?
Oh, my God, yes. I mean, it's, you know, you're just a yard away from being unplayable. So the golf gods were good to him. And that's what we want, and what we want you know, move forward to have an entertaining weekend.
Yes, and certainly, you know, as I mentioned briefly before the show, even, Charlie, you know, Tiger Woods being in the hunt, even though there's a star-studded leaderboard, we all realize, as Bill, you always bring up the moving the needle when it comes to Tiger, and CBS has got to be thrilled for ratings this weekend with Tiger being in the mix. We'll talk plenty of Tiger throughout the show, but coming up next, let's take more of a look at that star-studded leaderboard, talk more about Francesco Molinari, and also, you know, Brooks Koepka, because everybody, as you brought up with Rory, talks about the career Grand Slam. Well, if Koepka's able to win this thing this weekend, and a lot of time to go, and certainly plenty of golf to go, but he'd only be one step away from the career Grand Slam just like that, and it seems like people on a national level maybe don't talk enough about Brooks Koepka. So we'll take a look at that as well. So we're just getting started here. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Here's another guy that unfortunately is not on enough radars and should be. Francesco Molinari.
Well, he certainly is.
I mean, what he's done since last year's Masters, he won in Washington over the summer. It was a magnificent performance there at Avenel.
Francesco Molinari tied atop the leaderboard at 7-under, along with Day, Koepka, and Scott. And Molinari and Day will tee off at 2:45 Eastern time there at Augusta. Koepka, Scott at 2:35 as we're back inside things here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Charlie, if, you know, you heard it there a little bit from Jim Nantz on ESPN and CBS with the call, but the year that Molinari is at is something else.
It really is. It's just a tribute to really hard work and perseverance. And, you know, they had a great picture of him caddying for his older brother. And I don't remember what year it was, 2004. And his brother won the U.S. Amateur. So the brothers, you know, Molinari have brought golf to Italy, and everybody is getting really exciting. And the Ryder Cup is going that direction, Bill. But you look at that golf swing of Molinari, and it's hard to beat.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. One more little tidbit on that caddy picture with he and his brother. He was paired with Tiger.
Oh, wow.
Picture. And I think that they missed that angle when he went head-to-head with Tiger at Carnoustie last year. That would have been a heck of a thing to bring up, that 10 years ago he was caddying in a group with them, and now he's beating them head-to-head. But, yeah, he has a beautiful swing, Charlie. He seems to be a player that has embraced, I think, the team aspect of what a lot of modern players have today, and that's you know, a physio guy with him, a sports psychologist, a short game coach, long game coach. I don't believe all players embrace that, but I think he has. And I think we're going to see more of it. We're seeing more of a team traveling with these players nowadays. And you can't deny the results that he's had since he started doing this. He's truly one of the premier players in the world. He has an absolutely flawless-looking golf swing, I think.
And also, and, Bill, you know, before the British Open last year, he went to a performance coach, a gentleman that was a former rugby player that had taught him a lot. And I'd really like to – I'm sure that story should come out here shortly, but I would like to hear more about what he learned. But I can remember, and we played quite a few practice rounds with Molinari because he and Ankel really got along well. And he's just a quiet, sit-back guy, you know, unassuming. And, boy, he's put together, like you say, quite a team and quite a record in a very short time.
Yeah, I think the performance coach, what I read after the Open Championship last year, is that they practice putting stress, basically, on their practice, Charlie, that it's just not hitting balls. They have some kind of their own contest going on, and they try to create a practice environment that is much closer to a playing environment rather than just beating balls. You know, perhaps if you and I were hitting seven irons out there where you work, maybe we'd see how many we'd get on the green from 160 yards or whatever it is. In your case, maybe 120 yards.
you're so right, Bill. Give me at least
one. But I believe that they kind of brought a reality to the practice session, and so there isn't much of a drop-off when he leaves the range and goes to the first tee, which in most cases there is, with the, especially the amateur player. They struggle bringing their swing from the range to the first tee because on the range you're just kind of freewheeling.
Freewheeling, yes. I there's something there, and all the other guys are you know, really. I mean, if you look at their leaderboard, guys,
it's incredible. It really is.
Three guys stand out to Molinari, mm-hmm. Ustazen, whose swing is as good as Molinari's, you know, and Schaffler. You know, Xander, those three guys are the shortest of that group, Bill, as far as off the tee, but. Schaffler, he had a 65 yesterday, the best round of the tournament. And the course is playing long because of the new tees, but mainly because of the weather. And they're right in the – so, you know, a Mike Weir, Zach Johnson, who won in the past, those guys could win without a problem.
Well, I also think, Charlie, is that there really are no such thing as short hitters left in pro golf. There's just – long hitters and longer hitters. And so Molinari hits it plenty long, so does Xander. They just might not be in that bomber category. But I remember many years ago Jay Haas saying, you know, the equipment allowed him just to reach par fives and two that he could never reach. And that was quite an asset. And so obviously if you got a five iron to a par five and the other guy's got a forward or five-wood, it's a big difference. But there was many, many years ago before the equipment changed, as you know, Charlie, where there were just players who could not reach any par fives, and now all players can reach almost every par five. So it's equalized things, I think, a little bit. But I don't think that those three guys would be considered short hitters. I just don't think that they're considered in that bomber category, you know, with Brooks and DJ and guys like that, but they hit it plenty far enough, I believe, to get around Augusta. Although that fifth hole change seems to have made a pretty big difference, huh, Charlie?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah, and you know, somebody that stood out to me, guys, Jason Day. So this was back on Thursday. Remember when all of a sudden he had, I think it was on the second hole, he had to have somebody come out and stretch him out because he picked up his daughter, I guess, and hurt his back.
Maybe it will be all right, but, you know, you never know until you get out there and try it.
And again, Day injured his back while picking up his daughter on the practice putting green. But the good news is he would eventually get up. This is second shot now, par five, second.
So he's now tied for first to 700. And I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you saw it on third. He had trouble walking around a little bit and, you know, it tweaked his back. We already know he had back injuries heading in, but picking up his daughter in at the practice green, and all of a sudden was able to. I was wondering, how's he going to play, you know, 72 holes of golf, and here he is.
I loved his response from his wife. Man up. I gave birth to three of our children. All she did is pick one up, get out there and play. So, Bill, I mean, and they loosened his back up. And
apparently, yeah.
He's in the mix. It's been quite a while.
Yeah, he seems to play better when he is injured. You know, he had vertigo at Chambers Bay and almost won that tournament. You know, he was laying down on the side of the green like a dead cockroach half of those holes. On his back with his hands and legs up, and then he'd get up and hit a drive 350 yards. So he's a hard one to figure out in that regard. That he appears to be injured all the time, but then he comes back and plays wonderful golf amidst all these injuries. So, you know, what do they say? Look out for the wounded one. So maybe he's the guy this week. Maybe it will help him because his tendency is to swing awfully hard, and maybe he'll swing within himself. And, Charlie, he does. Jason Day really has a wonderful short game. And I think his short game and his technique is really, really good off tight lies and stuff like that. It's very quiet, dead-handed approach, it looks like. And he's always using the bounce, never is using the leading edge. So he has a marvelous short game. You know, he's world-class player. So, which is the intrigue of this weekend. As you look at that leaderboard, you just see one stud after another up there. So I'm really interested to see, because I think one of them is going to go low today. Not all of them are going to play conservative and scared and all that stuff. I think you've got guys there that are realize that if you're going to win this tournament this week, you're going to have to be aggressive.
Aggressive, but yet have a touch that is incredible, because, like you say, the lies are so dangerous. You've got to really have that deft touch. And what I've been doing, and I would recommend all of our listeners, you can take your camera and take a movie of these guys hitting these shots that are just so fantastic, and you can see the pace at which they're swinging the club. Whether Tiger has his tempo is certainly a lot less in as far as speed. He's not trying to hit it as far, but tempo, timing, and rhythm are going to play an important part for the Masters champion this weekend. How about that, Bill?
Well, I think you're right. I think that at some point in time, I remember Bones told me right before Phil hit that magical shot out of the pine straw on 13 that year, that his exact words were, someone is going to hit a magical shot in the next hour and a half to win this event, and I'm going to hit mine right now. And so we're going to see people hit fantastic shots, I think, because they know they have to, and that will be their mindset. I do think that guys like Tiger and some of the Augusta veterans may have a little bit of advantage because you can't play this course, I think, cocky. And I think it's one of those courses, as soon as you feel real comfortable on it, it might lure you into a stupid mistake. So I think some of the veterans know there are just certain pins, Charlie, their par is a good score on, and maybe let somebody else try to make the three on it, because they might make a birdie. So yeah. I think there'll still be a lot of management. I think there'll be times when you can gamble, and there'll be times when a par will be a great score. And I think some of the older players might be more conditioned to taking the foot off the pedal on certain holes and certain shots.
We'll talk more about this leaderboard and take a look also at some of the biggest disappointments. Justin Rose, right at world number one, missing the cut at the Masters. We'll take a look also at our team that we drafted for the Masters. It's very close, Bill. I was crunching the numbers. Bill, Charlie, and myself, we drafted last Saturday a group of four golfers. We'll tell you how we're doing at this point in time.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Great to be with all of you on this Masters Saturday in the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, made possible by our friends over at Insperity.
Yes, Alex, Insperity, a company that inspires business performance, established in 1986 in Houston, Texas, and has grown into a company that is one of the best companies in Houston. People want to work for the company because the way they treat their employees is second to none. But also, they will help you manage your employees as far as government regulations about anything that you might need for your business, small business. Give Insperity a call. Go online, Insperity.com. Read all about them, and there's so much information on how they can help you do what you need to grow your business. And that's the way America grows. Company like Insperity and all of their guys and their great management team just can't say enough about Insperity. And remember, the first week in May, we got the Insperity Invitational, all of the great senior events, the Champions Tour events coming to town. Free admission, just great. Come out and see them. And everybody that's on Sports Nation, come to Houston and watch the old-timers play golf.
Brooks Koepka for a share of the lead.
It's all a function of how the golf ball comes through the second cuts.
Most have left it short.
Not Brooks.
Not Koepka.
Not Brooks.
No one else has won three of the last seven majors either.
Imagine that. Brooks Koepka atop the leaderboard in a major championship. Seems like a common occurrence.
7 under. He'll tee off today at 2:35 Eastern and Augusta. And, you know, Bill, Brooks Koepka, you heard of their three of the last seven majors, and it's someone that I still don't think gets talked about maybe from a casual golf fan perspective. I'm sure you guys are well aware, but maybe a lot of people out there don't give him maybe the props that is due. What do you make of Brooks Koepka, who's right there atop the leaderboard yet again? And if he were to win the Masters, we'd be talking about him one step away from a career Grand Slam.
Well, one of the things that I'm finding interesting is his mindset. You know, he was a couple interviews yesterday where they asked him what he was going to be thinking about tomorrow, and he said nothing. He said, I don't think about all that stuff. I just go play golf. He said, if you think about where you are and what it means, you're not going to be able to play aggressive. So he said, I go out there and I don't think about anything. He said, I've been playing golf long enough to know that you got to hit good shots, and that's all I think about. And if I make a bad swing or hit a bad shot, I dismiss it, which he did. You know, he made 7 on the second hole yesterday. And so I think his mindset's interesting, and I think, Charlie, he actually does play that way. Sometimes guys say things that, you know, it's just another round, it's just another tournament and all that stuff. I think that he has convinced himself that if he just goes and plays golf and he plays his game, he'll be fine. And he's convinced himself if he focuses on what the tournament would mean and all that stuff, he won't play as well. So I think that he has found his little happy place on the golf course. And to him, I think it boils down to just playing golf. And if it works out, fine. If not, he doesn't seem to get too over amped up about it.
You know, it's amazing, Bill. It's been 10 years. This is 10-year anniversary since Anka won his Masters. And I can say that that was his philosophy. He didn't want anything. He didn't want anything in his mind. He just wanted to trust his grip and his swing and get up and hit the shots. He was a shot maker. Whether it be on 18 or on the first hole, he wasn't going to complicate it by, you know, thoughts of winning, thoughts of losing. He said one time when he walked from the 10th green to the 11th tee on Sunday, I said, Anka, what were you telling yourself? You were a couple holes behind. He says, I still got an opportunity. I'm just going to play golf. And it had nothing to do with swing thoughts. His mind was set on, you know, just go out there and hit it. Let's go find it. So I think that's a very, very wise way to play golf.
Oh, yeah, but it also helps if you got a good swing.
There's no doubt about it, but you establish...
Try doing that with a bad swing, so it works for you.
As far as
shooting 95.
creating a good swing. I mean, anyways, yeah, you're always right. I mean, son of a gun, you're the Harmon. But that's what Dick Harmon, your brother, always said to Bob Rotella. I don't care what kind of pre-shot routine. If you can't swing it, you can't hit it.
There's a lot to that, I think.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio. Bill Harmon, Charlie Epps, and myself here. Now, the biggest disappointment at the Masters, I mean, Justin Rose, you guys talk about Rory a little bit, but Justin Rose, I mean, doesn't even make the cut, guys.
Yeah, Justin and Jordan Spieth, you know, he had a good round yesterday.
Yes.
But sometimes your game just doesn't follow you. And he probably overtried because he's one that wants another major. You know, he won the U.S. Open. But, yeah, he would love to win this one. And he would think, Bill, with his type of game, that this would be a perfect golf course for him.
I think we lost Bill, actually. We got disconnected. So we'll get Bill. You upset him so much, Charlie. He said, I'm done. He just hung up on you.
I disconnected him.
That's what happens when you guys get after it a little bit. So we'll reconnect with Bill. But, yeah, I mean, I think biggest disappointment, you know, you brought up Jordan Spieth. And let's see, he goes in on the front night on Thursday, or excuse me, I was trying to pull up Spieth. Yeah, Saturday, one under, where front nine on Thursday, he was shot a 40. So quite the turnaround for Spieth, and maybe
yes.
Promising to see if he can't pull something off here on Saturday and Sunday. But then, yeah, when you're Justin Rose and you're world number one, for you not to make the cut at the Masters, a big shock. And we're going to go through our teams that we drafted, and luckily we can throw out one score because I had Justin Rose on my team there, Charlie, and that one did not pay off very well.
No, not at all. But when Bill comes back, I'm going to tell him I cut him off after he, you know, hey, Bill.
That's right. You wanted to cut me off when I said you hit a 7-iron 120.
Yeah, see? But, you know, we were just talking a little more about Justin Rose, the letdown of the number one player not making it to the dance on the weekend. But golf will, you know, it leave you. It's so elusive, and that's why these golfers are very, very, you know, cautious, you know. So what would you say the one big reason why a guy like Justin Rose misses the cut and is not in the mix?
You know, Charlie, I don't think there is a reason. I think it's golf. I think golf is a tough game, and you can't always play good when you want to play. I don't really think there is a reason, to be honest with you. I bet that he would say he just didn't play well, and that happens. You know, you and I could go out and let's say we played for a week, and for two or three days we played well, and the next day we didn't play well.
Yeah.
You know, and we're not even playing for anything. And somebody said, well, what happened? And said, well, didn't play good. You know, so I don't think there always has to be a reason. I think that golf is really, really a tough game. And I'm more amazed at how well these guys play for year in and year out, week in and week out. But they don't always get to play well when they want to. And I don't know. I just don't know if there is a reason why he didn't play well this week. He said he didn't drive the ball well, and there's a good start right there. He basically said he just didn't do anything very well. So yeah. He's not a guy that chokes. He's not a guy that the moment is too big for him. You know, he probably woke up 2 days and the club didn't feel good in his hands. And that's not a good course and a good event to have that happen on.
You know, one thing before we leave today, you've got some other things we want to, but I just want to go back to the ladies amateur that played on Saturday after our show. And I just thought that tournament, Bill, is going to go a long ways to helping promote the game, and especially in the amateur ranks. So what was your take from that weekend?
I loved it. I thought it was one of the coolest things I've ever seen. I thought it was fantastic. I thought the girls did great. The two girls in the last group were just magnificent, the way they handled themselves, the way they played. They had grit. They had style. They had personality. They had moxie. They had some move-the-needle stuff. And as usual, some of the pundits, you know, rather than compliment the event, had to now say it wasn't good because it wasn't the pros, you know. So funny how Augusta, there are certain people that just no matter what they do, are never going to compliment him. But I thought it was great, and I loved every minute of it. I really did. I thought it was a wonderful event.
Well, and I think if you see what Augusta's doing, you know, with the drive, pitch, and putt with the kids, and now this tournament, they're stepping up, and they know where their place in history is as far as golf is concerned, and they have the dollars to generate things of this competition of this nature. So my hat's off to them, and we're going to move forward.
All right, coming up next. Go ahead, Bo.
I hope they continue doing it with just amateurs, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
All right, coming up, we'll wrap things up and look at some of the pairings today and spotlight a few, and also check in on our scores with our Masters teams we drafted. It's the Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Insperity. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios with Bill Harmon and the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Alex Gold.
Masters Saturday here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. Again, for those maybe wondering, if you don't already know, Tiger going to tee off at 2:05 Eastern with Ian Poulter, and we'll go through some of the pairings in a second. But last Saturday, we drafted our team of four for the Masters. Remember, you can throw out the highest score. And so Bill had Justin Thomas, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, and Jordan Spieth, Charlie, Dustin Johnson, Ricky Fowler, Tommy Fleetwood, and Kisner. I had Rory, Rose, Koepka, and Molinari. So I went through the scores, and again, I threw out everybody's highest score. So Bill, you are at 419, Charlie 421, and I'm at 418. So we are all tight.
Whoa, how about that?
Yeah. Things are tight, and I got saved by throwing one out because Justin Rose really would have screwed me over here.
How about Bill? We know all the areas to know about golf, and we got this rookie kid over here leading us going into weekend.
We got 2 days to go, though. That's the thing.
But that's hard to believe we're that close, to be honest.
It is. It is pretty impressive. And now, Koepka and Molinari are totally saving me because, other than that, Rory and Rose just did nothing for me for the most part. I guess Rory.
Well, that's all I think all three of us had two pretty good ones.
Yeah.
So, no, that's good. That'll make it interesting on the weekend.
Yeah, I think, Bill, Bill's in a great spot because you've got Tiger. We're all rooting for Tiger, I think, anyway, and he happens to be on your team. So if Tiger ends up winning this thing or stays the top there, I think Bill's going to end up winning.
I've also made some online bets.
Ah, yes.
I've got Shoffley and Adam Scott at 30-1.
Ooh, okay. Scott, wow.
It's one of them. So I've got action there. I've got four guys that got a chance to win the least of 15-1.
Yeah, no, certainly Adam Scott has a fantastic chance to do that. He's part of a group of five there, tied atop the leaderboard. So guys, you know, the groupings today: Woods, Poulter, 205; Koepka, Scott, 235; Kuchar, Mickelson, 145; DeChambeau, Justin Thomas, 125. What's the most intriguing pairings other than Tiger? Because Tiger is always going to be intriguing. But what's a pairing maybe that stands out for both of you? We just got about 3 minutes or so left in the show.
I like the group 25, DeChambeau and Justin Thomas. Mm-hmm. Two completely different players, Bill. One the scientist. The other one is the kid that has a golf swing and he plays golf. So that's going to be intriguing. I'm happy for Charles Howell III that he's in the mix. A little. He lives in Augusta. It's such a nice guy. But I think my back of my mind is got a chance is Matt Kuchar. So that's
okay.
What's going through your mind, Bill?
Well, you know, actually, as I looked at the pairings, my first inclination was that these are all-star players and that the pairings aren't going to make any difference. You know, because you don't really have a nobody playing with a somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't recall who Justin Harding was playing with.
Yeah, I'm looking at he's playing with Xander Shoffley.
Yeah, so I think that's probably a good pairing for the two of them. But other than that, I think they're all prime time players, and I don't really think the pairings are going to make that much of a difference. I think there was a time maybe there might have been a little friction between Poulter and Tiger, but it seems like over the last few years, Tiger has really softened his his ways with other players, and he looks so much more comfortable out there, and so jovial with the other players. I suspect that he was very moved by how many players actually did care about him when he came back from his comeback, and I think he was moved by it, the way he was received in the team rooms at when he was vice captains, and I think he's changed quite a bit in that regard. Doesn't mean that he won't be all business today, but I don't think he personalizes stuff like he used to, and I think all the guys at the top, as I look at the leaderboard, I don't see anybody that probably doesn't like each other, and they're all primetime players, so I actually thought the pairings were kind of a push, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think Tiger's, you know, the image that I keep looking back to is when he won the Tour Championship on that Sunday in Atlanta, Georgia, and him and Rory walking down to the 18th green, and here's the crowd, you know, 10,000 people following him. So, yeah, Tiger, my wife said, why is Tiger smiling so much? He never smiled, but he's enjoying what he's doing.
Well, Bill, Charlie, let's enjoy this weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. And, guys, next Saturday we'll see. We're talking about maybe Tiger completing the comeback.
Yeah.